If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Niamh Cavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Welcome, listener. Welcome on this momentous day.
I know.
We're recording this, even though we celebrated it last week on the podcast.
I know.
We are recording on the day of...
Sonia's birthday.
Sonia's birthday. It's Sonia's birthday. It's also the birthday of Niamh Cavanagh McGahey.
That is correct.
Mrs. McGahey.
56 years.
It's 56 years
on
of age.
The planet.
You need to start knocking a few years off that now.
Why? You can't in this modern
no,
age.
No, you can. Listen. No, I, like, look, you just, you knock the years off, and if anybody anybody counters you,
okay,
they'd be an absolute monster.
No, but you know, actually, all you have to do is put it on Wikipedia, because everybody believes every single thing that's written on that.
That's a fantastic idea.
So there you
go. That is a fantastic idea. Just go in and we'll just set both of our ages to 38 years old.
Do you think I could go? I couldn't go that far back.
Niamh, you're fishing for a compliment now.
I know.
And I won't have it.
I have. It's my day. If I can't get it on this day,
of course you could go 38. Of course you could.
I know. I love my birthday, right? And I actually, I'm delighted I'm sharing it with you for a change.
I'm going to be honest. If it was my birthday and I had to drive 2 hours to come down and do this podcast, I'd be annoyed.
Do you know what time I had to leave this morning to get here for 10 o'clock?
Go on.
7:15. Do you understand that means I had to be up in time to shower and do all that? Because I do try and clean myself before I come. I mean, it's not always obvious, but I do.
She polishes herself up every time she has to come down to Dublin.
And do you know what I did, right? Because it was so cold when I got in. I have this fleece that I only wear around the house. You know, it looks, you know, my friend bought it for me because she knows I like to be comfortable and cozy. And I'm not sure that she ever meant me to wear it outside of the house, but I actually drove down in it.
You drove down in it?
I drove down in it. I totally, you know, it looks amazing. It's in the car.
Do you know what my dream is?
What is it?
Now we can share it.
Oh, come on.
My dream is, because one of my favourite things about living in an apartment, right?
Right.
Is that, because when you do night driving.
Yes,
you know,
we
do. Like in the winter. And you get into the car at the theatre and you're like, oh, it's freezing. And what I like is I'm in the car and I don't have to get out of the car again. Because I drive into the underground.
Oh, yes.
And I love that. And what I would love...
is to get in your jammies before you go.
To get in my jammies before I get in the car. Getting my jammies at the venue.
No.
But I know the day I do that...
you're going to break down.
No, it's the day somebody's like, can I have a selfie? That's what would happen.
I'd love it.
It's like the day... this happened during COVID. I will never forget it as long as I live, right? I will never forget it. I was about to get into the shower. Did I tell you the story?
No.
This is a horrific story. I was about to get into the shower and the buzzer went because there was a delivery, right?
Okay.
So I was like, grand, threw on me pajamas, ran down, got the delivery, signed for it. And your man asked me if he could get a selfie, right?
To prove the delivery or because
no,
he recognized
no, just
you.
Because his girlfriend liked me. Because with straight lads, it's always the girlfriend that
yeah,
likes
me. Always, yeah, always. Yeah.
So it's like, absolutely no problem. I went up, had a shower. Now, I looked like an absolute scruff ball in the photograph, right? But
okay.
That was not the problem with the photograph.
Okay.
I went up, I had a shower, you know, had a cup of coffee, then went on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I was tagged in something, right? I had a look at the photograph. And in that photograph, you could visibly see my penis. I had to message him and say, please, can you crop that or take it down or something?
Was your penis hanging out when you went to the delivery?
No, but it was just, I was wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You couldn't actually see that.
I will never.
It was the outline, wasn't it? It was the outline.
I will never forget it as long as I live.
Listen.
I was like, I'm going to get banned from Instagram.
There's lots of people out there who are going to recognise what I'm about to talk about. Right?
I thought you were going to say. Like, how dare you, Niamh? How dare you?
The thing is, right, when the kids were small and I used to, or younger, and I used to drop them up to the train to get up to the, you know, to go to school, I used to drop them up. The train station's only up the road from us. So there is a temptation to literally go, like put a coat over whatever you're wearing and go. Now, the pajamas are not the problem. For most women, the problem is they mightn't have the bra on. And as traumatic as you think it is.
Like,
sometimes I go out the back and I'm hanging clothes out and my neighbour comes out the back and I haven't put the bra on. You know what I mean? It's the first thing in the morning. Yeah. I'm putting out, I have a high expectancy of just being able to do that out my own back garden. And he comes out for the chat and I have to stand with the hands over the, you know, like folded across. And the problem is that those hands are getting lower and lower every year. There's nothing, even though you know nobody can see, there's nothing more.
I know. It's you feel vulnerable.
Yes, it's
a vulnerability.
It is.
But I guess it's just what they always used to tell us is don't go out of the house unless you're dressed up.
And you've clean knickers on.
Yeah, like you're.
In case you go like run over.
A 50s housewife.
Do you remember?
Put the full face on before you leave the house.
How have we ended up here? This is my birthday. We have to talk about nice things.
We talk about nice things.
I feel
things.
A little bit, you know.
I've had a very stressful week.
Oh, tell me about your week.
Yeah, I've had a very stressful week. So I was away with, I was doing shows in the UK.
I know.
And I, for some reason, right, I don't know what's going on, but I think it was because I had, do you remember like in the last episode, a sinus infection?
No, I remember you got sicker as the day went on.
Yeah, the day went on. The more episodes we recorded, I was just getting worse and worse and worse.
I thought it was the fact you didn't wash a jumper before.
But it turned into like a full-blown
sinus
infection. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But what happened was I ended up with, for some reason, getting really nauseous from the sinus infection. I don't know why, but.
Oh, okay. So you felt sick, like?
Yeah, so it was grand when I was doing shows.
Okay.
But when we got in the car, I was getting travel sick. It was awful. I was like a little baby. Like, so when we get into the car,
did you take Anton for it?
Yeah, I took these like ginger lozenges, work.
Yes, I
they
know. Work. But did you not take Quells, like the travel sickness?
I didn't have them. I don't know what's going on in the UK, right?
Know.
All of the stomach medication that I like, Motilium, Quells, I couldn't get any of it.
All the stuff that you like to get cheap over there.
Yeah. No, I couldn't get anywhere. I was in Boots and everything. Like, no, we don't have that. No, that's on prescription now. I was like, what's going on? So what I had to do was when I was in the car, because I was doing Sarah Millican supports. Mm-hmm. So when we're in the car, I would sit in the front seat and I would just close my eyes. I had to just close my eyes for the whole journey.
Oh,
otherwise,
no.
I was getting travel sick. So we arrived at the hotel in, where was it? It was in Cambridge, I think. And I didn't realise. Because normally when you're doing those car journeys, I'm on my phone. You know, because
okay,
it's
so
long
maybe,
car journeys and you're like,
right,
you know.
So you're reading.
Yeah, but I couldn't do that because I was getting like, so I...
Did you have to make them stop and all?
No, I didn't. We stopped once. We stopped actually once at services and they looked at me, I thought I was going to die. Like I was literally white. Like absolutely, like I looked like a ghost. And I was pretending I wasn't sick. Because you know when you do, I'm absolutely fine. No, I'm grand. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I was just like sweat.
Clammy.
And I was grey. Like absolutely grey. And the tour manager just came in and was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm absolutely fine. I don't know why you would think there's something wrong. On one of the last nights, my phone was on my lap and I got out of the car. And I dropped the phone off my lap and I didn't even hear it. I was just like, get me to my hotel room. But so then I got up to my room and I noticed on my watch that my phone was disconnected. And I was like, where's my phone?
Oh no.
It was out on the road.
No.
And it had been run over.
Oh God.
And it got so much worse, right? It got so much worse because my dad was in hospital and my sister was in hospital because she was having a baby, right? So I needed my phone. So I was like, okay. So the next morning, I went to the Apple store in Cambridge. Right?
To buy a new one?
To say those people were unhelpful.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Genius bar me bollocks. The first people were lovely, right? And,
right.
And they, because it was going to cost me like 700 quid to get my new phone, my old phone fixed.
Yeah.
Because there was like loads of problems with it.
Yeah. So really, it's a case
of. It was screwed. It was like, yeah. I was like, do you know what? Actually.
I might as well get the new one.
I should just get a new phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought a phone
mm-hmm.
and then I went and then I transferred it, but I couldn't transfer my WhatsApps, right? And this is a lesson for any Agony Rants listener out there, right? There's an option on WhatsApp to encrypt your backup, okay?
Okay.
So when it backs up your WhatsApps to the cloud,
okay,
there's an option to encrypt it. And you've got to set a password. And I set that password. And you know the way now? We just have no idea what those passwords are.
You don't know what...
They're all in the cloud. It doesn't store your encryption password in the cloud.
What humor were you in when you set that password? You don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea what it was. And I had no idea. There was just no... And I wanted my WhatsApps because like... Like loads of dead people like that I have messages from that I want to keep.
Oh. Okay.
So what I did was I thought, okay, how am I going to get this back? So I had to go back and I had to get my old phone. I had to get the screen fixed on it.
Okay. You got... What?
Because like there was loads of things wrong with it. One of the problems was the screen was broken, but also the camera were broken. You know, there was loads of things, so I couldn't use it again, really, because it was going to cost too much to get fixed.
But the information was still in it.
But the stuff was still on it.
Okay.
So I had to go get the screen fixed.
Which is another couple of hundred.
Tell me this. When they told me to transfer it over, they could have told me this, and it was afterwards when I went back, I was just like, oh, you just wanted me to buy a new phone. You dicks. But...
I feel like I was in the room there.
I was really angry. So I had to go back and I had to go into a phone shop and I had to pay them £180 to fix the screen on my old phone so I could go into WhatsApp, turn the encryption off.
Oh, right. Okay. So you didn't even... Did you do just one thing?
Yeah, because you can turn the encryption off but on the phone that you've encrypted it on by just pressing the button. But if you're bringing it onto a new phone, you have to have the password.
Okay.
So I'd go in, turn the encryption off, and then run it, and then the backup just appeared. It all just appeared on my new phone.
I always want to know where my phone is and my headphones. I spend a lot of time going find my headphone.
I've lost my
headphones. Find my earbud.
I borrowed my boyfriend's headphones.
And you've lost them?
I've lost them. And I don't know whether I left them in a taxi or whether I left them... Like, there was a few places I was during one particular week. And I rang all the places that I was that week.
Oh, God. Have you fessed up yet? Did he know you borrowed them?
Yeah, he did. He lent them to me. And like, we're in a very interesting... It's a very interesting dynamic going on.
Okay.
And I don't know how I managed to do it, but I'm very impressed with myself.
Okay, go on.
Because he will say, did you find those headphones? And I go, no, I didn't. From a position that I've no entitlement to be.
Are you making him feel
guilty for asking me about his headphones. I don't know how we got there. I'm very grateful we are there and it's not him giving out to me saying, you know, find where's him or I'm leaving you. But for some reason, I can be snippy about him asking me where his headphones are. And it works. And he's like, oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to.
Wow.
So it's at Niamh, it's fantastic. I don't know how I managed this.
Are you going to apply that life skill to other parts of your
very
relationship?
Impressed with myself. Very impressed.
Amazing.
Niamh. I'm in the final throes.
Really? The death throes.
The death now of the Glamour Hammer Tour.
I feel sad. I feel sad that this is happening.
Really?
No.
Oh, God, I'm thrilled. On the 29th of February, I will be in the Central in Navan.
Mm-hmm.
I will then be in the Mullingar Arts Centre on the 2nd. Mm-hmm. I will be in Friars Gate in Limerick on the 8th.
Okay.
The Dock Carrick in Shannon on the 9th. And the Pavilion in Dublin on the 15th.
Oh.
Yeah, Paddy's Weekend. And then the Dock in Carrick and Shannon on the 22nd. Did I say that twice?
Yeah, you did.
I did. It's either the 9th or the 22nd. I have it in my diary twice.
Are you going twice?
No, wait, I'm not. On the 23rd, it's Chris Dunne's birthday. That's not her date.
Are you just going through your diary?
The Castle Bar, the Linenhall and Castle Bar on the 29th of March. The Hill Comedy Club on the 30th. I am doing two shows.
Oh.
Yeah, an early show and a late show. The late show, I think, is sold out.
Oh, get you.
And then the Nina Arts Centre has just gone on sale on the 20th of April. PSLC in Portmarnock on the 27th of April. And I know I am also doing the Civic in Tala on, I think it's the 6th of June. But before that, myself and Chris Kent will be doing previews of our new shows together. We're doing a little tour of like about maybe 7 or 8 dates where I'll do an hour, you'll do an hour of all just new jokes.
And where are you doing that?
Very small dates. It hasn't been announced yet, but it should probably be announced by the time.
By the time
I'm doing them. And by the time you're listening to this. So check out Garrode Farrelly on Instagram.
Amazing.
That was was very hodgepodge, wasn't it, Niamh?
Yeah, it was very good.
It's just off the cuff.
I don't know. I felt like I was invested by the end of it.
The start, I'll be honest, I was bored.
I just thought it was going to be the same. But no, it was lovely because I got a few birthday mentions in there as well and everything. I was waiting for you to say when you were going, what day you were doing your laundry.
Niamh, I don't like this aggressive tone.
No, I'm just saying.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you can donate money to us to keep your favourite podcast on the road by subscribing to Head Stuff Plus. And in return for that, you will get bonus content from us and from all of the shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network, which, Niamh,
is celebrating.
Is celebrating. It's 10-year anniversary.
Oh my God, 10 years.
Isn't it 10 years?
It is 10 years.
It is 10 years.
It's lovely years.
It's an anniversary anyway.
It is one of those things.
It's one of those. The Head Stuff Podcast Network is a network based in Dublin. It is part of the podcast studios, which is where we record.
Oh yes, it is. And we love it.
And we love it. We love all the people that work there. There's also headstuff.org, which is a arts and culture site. Oh. And we love them. We congratulate them.
I know.
And if you are considering making a podcast and you're not going to do it with the Head Stuff Podcast Network or in the podcast studios, you need to have a long, hard look at yourself.
I mean, to be fair, for your 10th anniversary, you can get tin. We can give them a, you know, a tin of soup or something.
Tin?
Yeah.
Good, good. I was going to get them a present, but now we can just send them
your old tin cans.
Yeah, perfect. Ideal, Niamh.
They'd love it.
They're all into that sort of stuff.
No, they are.
If we tell them it's tin, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's great. We'll put it, we'll, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple people. Mm-hmm. They're a simple people.
You know they listen to this, right?
Get ready to celebrate with us as Head Stuff hits a remarkable milestone. That's right, it's our 10-year anniversary and we want to celebrate with you. To mark this special occasion, we're rolling out the red carpet with exciting surprises. For a limited time only, you can subscribe to Head Stuff Plus at headstuffpodcast.com and enjoy a 14-day free trial to access ad-free bonus content from all the shows on the network. And if you're already a member, you'll get 20% off all merch from your favourite shows. Thank you for 10 years of support from all the team at Head Stuff.
This is why I like our listeners.
Yeah, when we spank them.
When we spank them, they respond.
I know.
Like myself. We got some reviews. We asked for reviews and then we got reviews.
Okay, tell us the reviews. As long as they're good reviews. Are they good reviews?
They're good. They're great reviews.
Oh, excellent.
All 5 stars, as they should be. SH240 says, Monday morning blues eraser.
Oh my God, that's us.
Monday mornings wouldn't be the same without Agony Rants.
Excellent. Thank you.
Short but sweet.
Yeah,
but lovely. Here's another one. My number one podcast. This is from Uncle Joe. I love this podcast. It is my absolute favourite. I pretty much always listen on my drive home on Monday and looking forward to it gets me through the hardest day of the week.
Ankle Joe, you know where my head went that he has an ankle, you know, one of those ankle braces you have to wear that you're not allowed to.
I'm going to get. Oh, you mean like a. That's not an ankle bracelet,
a law.
You've digitally tagged.
Yeah, I know. When he's driving home from the area that he's allowed to be driving in.
Niamh and Geared are so good and so funny. Listen and enjoy, but also supported by becoming a member and getting the additional content.
Oh, we love
they
you.
They are so worth it.
We love you.
Ankle Joe.
Ankle Joe.
Let me see.
I'll make you a friendship ankle bracelet.
And this next one says, amazing. Brilliant podcast. Brightens up my day. Niamh is such a treasure and Garode is a big ride. And that's from Mickey Milker, so he knows what he's talking about.
I'm a treasure.
Thank you, Mickey Milker. Quite the eclectic mix there, our listeners. Niamh, we have follow-ups.
We do.
Do you want to read a follow-up?
Hello. Last year I wrote to you and I was in a massive panic. Is this you right now? Because you're nearly always in a massive panic.
Yeah, could be.
I know. I had left my job as my progress in my company had completely stalled. I knew I was going nowhere and it had taken me a while to make the decision to move on. I'm only 40 and I thought it was too early to plateau. Oh, I love that.
Can I just say, it's always too early to plateau.
Always. It's never over till you decide.
It ain't over till it's over, babes.
When I did leave, I had a massive crisis of confidence. I have never had a panic like it. And so basically what he decided then was write to us. So when I wrote you that letter, I was genuinely going to quit and ask for my job back. You were both so encouraging and absolutely right to tell me to hold fast. Thanks. I really was about to make the biggest mistake of my life before I listened to your advice. You were right. Things are really great in my new job. Once I gave it a proper chance, I realized within a few weeks that I had made a really good move. Thanks for helping me through it. You're the best and I'm forever grateful, Jer. Isn't that lovely? Imagine that.
I wonder what he does. No. Given the level of typos, I think he's not a journalist. One reread. That's all I ask when people are writing to us.
Would you like me to edit them before
minor
they come?
Minor punctuation
and a
reread.
If you sent them to me any earlier, I could definitely, you know, kind of do some editing on it. No, I think that's really lovely. Do you know?
Thanks
think it's
for
good?
That, Jer.
Yeah, I really do appreciate it. And I'm delighted you held fast.
I do think that we always forget that when we are in a job, we are so used to everything that's going on around us.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And then when you move into something else, it's like you're learning to walk again.
Yes, it's very
walking
true.
Walking and talking.
Walking and talking, very difficult.
And I do think, you know, in that situation, you have to just hold fast. Believe in yourself, Niamh.
Yes, exactly.
Like we
right.
believe in our listeners.
Hey, Niamh and Grode, I really need your advice. I'm struggling with my relationship at the moment. My boyfriend and I had a massive fight before Christmas regarding being engaged. Now, this is new. Normally, I have the best relationship in the world, but that's normally where they start. But this is, she's straight in. Right?
Okay,
so
we know what
good.
The problem is.
Okay. He knows how much it means to me and how much I have wanted this. He has said he wants the same thing, but it always comes down to when he's ready. It feels like he just wants the power to make all of the relationship decisions. He has decided what country we live in, if we will or will not move, and when. He decided when we made our relationship public, and now we'll be engaged, in inverted commas, when he's good and ready. I feel like I'm stripped of all power in this relationship, and I just have to go with everything he wants or leave, because there is never an in-between. Compromise doesn't come into it. And now I feel like if he ever does propose, I don't think I'll feel the excitement and happiness that I once did. I feel like the whole thing has been spoiled. Please keep me anonymous.
Aww.
I know. I mean, there's a lot in this one, right? You see, I think it's difficult when you've built up expectation and then it doesn't come. Right. That's quite difficult. So I feel for you that way. And sometimes, you know, there's a difficult situation where you have an understanding that this is the way this is going to go. And then the other person has decided it's going to be different. The problem here is not just about the actual engagement situation, because it sounds to me like you're not going to say no anyway. You know, because she kind of says near the end, you know, that now she feels like the proposal's not going to be as exciting. I just wonder, you know, are you just falling in with whatever he decides? Are you actively making decisions?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could say the 29th of February is coming and you could propose to him. But, you know, the reality is nowadays, the engagement is such a big thing, isn't it? You know, people, or how you get engaged seems to be a big thing. But I don't know. I think more concerning is the fact that you feel like he's making all the decisions.
But you see, here's my question. Is he making all the decisions?
Or are you just annoyed because
you're not making them?
Oh, yes. Well, that could be
like, does he know how you feel about all of this? Or is he making a decision and you're going, ooh, in your head? Oh,
yeah, raging.
Yeah, I've got no agency over this. He's deciding where we live. He decided, you know, or are you saying, I'm not sure I want to live there?
Or are you even voicing your opinion on it?
Because I do that.
You get annoyed about decisions.
I get annoyed about things that, like, haven't been said.
Yeah, I know.
I do that all the time. I was really annoyed at one of my friends the other night.
All right, did they know?
No, of course they didn't.
Did they ever know?
No.
Okay. Are you still annoyed with them?
Yes.
Is it me?
No. But like, it's because of things they said that I go, oh, I guess that means this.
I know.
But it doesn't.
No. But even if it does, you can't, you have to have that conversation.
Yeah, you're supposed to have the conversation.
I know. To me, actually, there's a lot going on in this message, which is nothing to do about when you get engaged. Yeah,
like the engagement is actually the smallest bit of this.
Yeah.
And what I will say is, if you genuinely feel that this person's making all the decisions and you've got no control over anything, I would say you should not be getting engaged to them.
No,
I
agree.
If that is absolutely how you feel, I don't think you should be getting engaged to them until all this is sorted out.
Yeah, but I think for me, it seems to be that she's worried about the fact that the engagement, because it's not going to be the way she has built up in her head, or that it's not when she wants it to be, that it's going to be spoiled. I don't think she's, it doesn't seem to me like that she's, you know, disappointed, you know, she's going to say no. I think she wants to be engaged. That's what I think.
Yeah, I do think she wants to be engaged, but I think that she's saying things like, I'm stripped of all power in this relationship, yeah, and I just have to go with everything that he wants or leave because there's never an in-between.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, I'm not even engaged.
I know.
Whereas like being engaged is like the...
you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Just like leave that on the side for a minute. It's all of the other stuff.
I think to be fair, sometimes we look for, when we're disappointed in something, sometimes we look for other things that annoy us, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There's an element of perhaps, you know, she's a bit disappointed. And I understand.
You're perfectly entitled to lash out. Yeah. You're speaking to two people that are quite fond of us.
No, I understand when you feel disappointed about something. I completely understand that you want to fight, and also you don't put the toilet seat down. You know, it's almost like you know.
Yeah.
But in saying that, right, the most important thing here is you've got to decide: are you just falling in with people? And you know, if that's the problem, and the sense that this person is making all the decisions. If you're not happy with them making all the decisions, the difficulty is your marriage is going to be very difficult.
You can't give out about somebody not doing the things you want when you haven't said what it is you want.
Yes, exactly right. And clearly he knows how you feel about it. So if he's actively trying not to do what you want, there's two things going on here. He wants to be in control of it because it's important to him. He might have a big plan for you that is to properly surprise you, right? And you're trying to anticipate it, right? You know, or actually worse again, if he's actively trying not to give you what you want at this stage of relationship, I think you need to be looking at that relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, but I don't think it's as serious as that. I think you're just disappointed because you're ready for what's going to come next. And instead of lashing out about all the things that, you know, and being cross about it, maybe try and have a conversation from a point of view of how you're disappointed because you really want to move forward in your relationship and see how he responds to that.
Yeah.
Because actually, in a weird way, that's might be at the root of what you're saying. You know, if it's about the manner and the time that he's getting engaged, that's kind of slightly aside the point. I think realistically, you need to see if this is what you want to be doing.
What I always say about engagements, you know, when...
You know I'm not a big fan.
I'm not a big fan of engagements. I'm not. Like, because I did have a situation with a friend who told me what the plan was for their engagement and then went off and got engaged and then came back and told me everything they previously told me, but in a way that meant that I was supposed to be surprised all this had happened. It's like, but you literally told me how this was all planned.
Yeah. No, I didn't get engaged, so I don't have an engagement or anything.
But you see, I think when you say you want to get married and the other person says they want to get married and you both implied you're both going to say yes, then you're actually engaged.
You are kind of, yeah. You're on the road to it. You know, it's not the official here we are to everybody else, but nowadays it's not the same. Years ago, you would have got engaged as a declaration, to the wider community, because, you know, you didn't live together. You didn't, you know, you, there were a lot more rules involved with where you lived, yeah, and where he's staying. So nowadays it's not quite the same requirement. So I don't know. I mean, so we're not the best people maybe to talk about it, you know, anticipation of engagement, you know.
I know,
Paul,
yeah.
Paul and I,
yeah,
knew very, you know, we knew we were going to get married fairly early on in our relationship because we were older when we met. And it was just almost accepted between us, and we had the conversations, and he asked me, did I want an engagement ring, and I said no, I don't, because, you know, I'm not great with jewelry anyway. Do you know what I mean? But I get that other people, it's an important milestone.
Either he doesn't realize how important it is to you,
despite the fact that you might think he does,
or he does realize and doesn't care,
and
you need to work out which one of those it is.
And the second one is a big red flag.
Yeah, it is. And I think that what you need to do is you need to sit down and you need to talk about the fact that he is making all of these decisions, yeah, and you don't feel like you've any power.
And it's not like you can't recover from the second option.
Completely.
You know, but
it's all fixable, but it just requires communication.
But you need to decide what's more important to you and whether you're actually communicating properly. And rather than being angry about something, try and come to terms with how you feel about it and then have those conversations.
Yeah. And if there's one thing I don't do is communicate.
Don't go to Garode's class.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it works. I think what you should do is you should lay your cards on the table here. And I don't think you should do it in a row.
No.
I think you should, instead of doing it when you're like, you know, fit to stab each other because they won't get out of your way in the kitchen. Do it when things are good.
Yeah, try and have a conversation.
And say, look, this is not a conversation where I'm asking you to propose to me. This is not what this conversation is.
I want
to
know.
This is a conversation about
how I felt.
The amount of power that I have in our relationship.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really important to have that conversation.
And if you don't see improvement or progress or the ability to progress with this, I don't think you should marry him.
No, I don't think you should marry him. I mean, don't move out straight away.
No.
But, you know,
transfer the joint account into your name. Do all that sort of stuff.
You know, prepare for that.
Grab what you can get.
I think people sometimes focus too much on the engagement and the wedding and not enough on what's actually the next 40, 50 years. You know, my husband and I have been married.
Oh, God, that's really long.
I know. Sorry. Well,
that is really long.
I've been married for 20 years, right? My mum and dad celebrated 60 years.
Medication's got too good. It's too good. It was better back in the old days when they put a leash on
you. When they died.
Yeah, exactly.
They died.
Dead at 45.
I know.
Back on the apps. I feel like the most important line in this that you've written is, I feel like I'm stripped of all power in this relationship.
That's a really important line.
Important line.
That's probably the thing I worry most about in this.
Yeah.
Like, realistically. So if that is true, then you need to decide how you feel about that and then have that conversation, or you need to make your own decision. You need to know what you want from this.
That is, unless she did what I do, which is like she wrote this in like a gin-fueled rage where she was like absolutely disgusted by the state of her life and every decision she's made.
And he leaves the toilet down.
Yeah. It's like me when I'm sending an aggressive text at 2 a.m.
No, I know. It's like finding everything. I am stripped of all power in this relationship. I think you've probably said that to your partner more than once, you know, even though it's not true.
I think I probably said it to him this morning. So listen, us know how you get on. And I really hope it works out.
Mind yourself.
Yeah, mind yourself. And just be really honest with yourself.
Yeah, because it's not about the engagement. It's about the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Or until, you know.
Neve, we have another problem.
We have many problems.
Massive.
This is a long problem.
This is a long, 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 long problem.
But it's an interesting one, actually.
Are we doing another one?
No.
No, we're not. We're doing the long. Okay. Hi, Neve and Garode. I'm writing to you about a friend breakup that has shattered my already fragile self-confidence. But first, on a much lighter note, I want to tell you how much I love your show.
I'm sorry.
This letter
is lovely.
This is gorgeous. And but it swings like this.
It swings.
There's big dramatic moments in this letter.
This is our people.
These are our people. Emotional people that feel things
from
deeply.
From one side to the other, it's lovely. Yeah. You know, I'm in the worst place possible, but I want to tell you how amazing I love you. I love you.
Exactly. You're both hilarious and empathetic.
Oh, we love you back.
Correct. Neve is the cool mom, big sister.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
I'd say she probably had to delete Granny. Neve is the cool mom, big sister I wish I had, combined with Garode occasionally encouraging fiery revenge. Absolutely.
Yes.
I feel like I found my people.
Oh.
I've recommended Agony Rants to family and friends. But if you're reading this on the show, I hope they're not listening right now or my anonymity will be blown. Dun, dun, dun. My problem is this. I stopped talking to a friend after he made some comments I thought were ableist. As a result of this falling out, my faith in humanity has been shaken. I'm distrustful and I've pretty much stopped trying to meet new people. Let me know if I'm being too dramatic. You're absolutely not. We're on board.
You can never be too dramatic for the road.
We've been friends for over a decade. The fact that I am physically disabled has never been an issue in our friendship, or so I thought. This friend and I now live in different parts of the country, and we were both living alone when the pandemic began. Over the past few years, we started talking on the phone regularly, once or twice a week, sometimes for hours at a time. We had some of the best, most honest and supportive conversations I've ever had. I considered him to be my best friend. We would sometimes talk about our dating lives, and this is ultimately where things went downhill. He told me he wanted to dish about a first date he'd been on. The woman he'd met sounded great, but he said there was only one problem. He didn't know if he could keep seeing her because she got migraines and suffered a back injury in the past. That's wild. He said he was worried that she wouldn't be able to do much if they were to keep dating. Their first date was a 2-hour hike, so I found his concern to be hilariously misguided. But he wasn't joking. I mean, a 2-hour hike, I think that's enough. If you could do that, I think. He also told me about another female friend.
I remember I brought you on the 2-hour.
Oh, God, no, that hike?
You didn't even have your own boots.
Oh, my, that bloody hell. Oh, my God.
Anyway, move on.
He also told me about another female friend of his who has a chronic condition. He says he gets asked all the time why they aren't dating since they get along so well. His answer, which he apparently told his friend directly, is that he won't date her because of her chronic condition. He then said he knew I wouldn't like hearing this because of your abilities.
So he basically said because of your abilities. So he's okay.
Wow.
Okay.
In all the years I've known him, he has never insinuated anything negative about my disability or anyone else's. It shocked me. He admitted he wishes he didn't feel this way and said it stems from his insecurity. He said he thought as a man that he had to date someone as close to perfect as possible. Ridiculous, I know. Good luck to him.
Holy God.
I don't think it is my responsibility to teach him otherwise or to try and change his mind. I stopped talking to him after that conversation and several months have passed. He recently reached out a couple of times and has said our friendship is important to him. I told him bluntly, I can't be friends with someone who thinks that way. He said he would never do.
No, he said he would do.
He said he would do whatever he can so that we can be friends again. I haven't responded because I don't know what to say and I don't know if there is anything he can do. I feel bad about cutting off communication, having been on the receiving end of a few friend breakups. I know how much it hurts and I'm not trying to hurt him. I am glad he felt he could be honest with me about this, even though it disgusted me. But I don't know why he told me this knowing it would upset me. I wondered if he was actually looking for a way out of our friendship. Again, I'm possibly too dramatic. Over the past few months not talking, I've realised I don't miss him as much as I thought I would. I'm wondering if it's time to let the friendship go. My other problem, though, is that now I can't help wondering if the majority of people feel the same way as he does and just aren't upfront about it. I don't have many friends, so I can't really afford to lose one, and I haven't been successful in the dating arena either. Up till now, I've just assumed it's because of my bad personality.
I love a bit of honesty. You know, I mean.
My disability doesn't severely affect my life, but it's typically one of the first things people notice about me. I've often wondered how it shapes people's opinion of me. I have been on the receiving end of ignorant comments my whole life, so I tend to be careful when it comes to choosing friends. I considered myself to be a good judge of character and never saw any signs that my friend felt this way. Now I'm questioning everything. I've stopped trying to date or make new friends. I know I shouldn't let one person's bad opinion stand in my way, even if that person was a close friend. But his experience really hit a sore spot when I was feeling so isolated already. Any advice? Thanks in advance, and thanks for all you do. Sending love from Canada as a fellow Cagney and Lacey fan.
Oh, well, we have to be extra fabulous to this girl.
Oh, excuse me. I love a bit of Cagney and Lacey. Tyne Daly's in hospital.
Oh. Is that why you were worried about losing your phone?
I'm really upset because she was supposed to be opening in a Broadway play and she has been hospitalised and she's pulled out
of
the play. And she's been replaced by someone from The Office.
As in,
I mean, she's expected to make a full recovery.
You mean as in the...
The Office, the TV show. Not like The Office in the theatre.
It's your time to shine.
Never mind, I'll step
in. It's your time to shine.
Somebody man the phones.
Sorry. It made me laugh. Come on. It was funny.
Paula.
Okay. There's a lot going on
Paula,
in this.
Paula. There's so many things that... There's so many important messages that I feel you need to get, right?
Right.
And there's also a couple of home truths that I think you need to get.
A small bit, yeah.
Yeah. The first thing that I think you have to look at is don't lose faith in humanity.
No.
There are plenty of people who are disabled that are in relationships mm-hmm. with people who are not disabled.
No, yes. And actually, I'm sure you're well aware of that, right?
Yeah.
And it's it not about... Hurts. It is difficult because there are extra challenges. But what you don't realise is your friend also has extra challenges, clearly. To me, he sounds like a man who's looking for reasons to justify why he's not dating, or he just doesn't fancy the person he's with. So he's looking for reasons not to like them. You know, it seems very picky in that if you've been friends for 10 years and he's known about your disabilities and you've had wonderful conversations over that time, why all of a sudden now is he suddenly having those conversations about where, you know, to me, I don't think it's about you. This is about him, you know, and how insensitive he can be as a person. And maybe he's not successful in his dating world, which is sad.
Well, it doesn't sound like he is.
No, he's not successful by the looks of it.
Do you know what I'm going to ask as well, right? And this could land a little hard.
Come on then.
So, but I think it's important to ask it. Is... You've been having very long, intense, regular conversations with this man on the phone.
Did you have expectations?
And was there maybe, I guess, a little flicker of attraction going on?
Were you feeling it maybe a little
Are you disappointed that he maybe didn't feel the same way, or he maybe didn't broach that, and maybe... Did he say things? And don't get me wrong, the things he said were ignorant, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Did he say things that landed a little heavy because of the way...
Well, you're feeling a bit sensitive, maybe.
You were a bit sensitive about it. And I'm not saying that what he said was... Like, I mean, to be honest with you, I would find it very hard to dress up what he said. Because he said were absolute ignorant, dickhead comments.
I mean, chronic...
But I'm wondering... Do we have all of the context here? Could he have said, I feel as a man, they have to be perfect. You know, was he, you know, I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, he sounds like a dick.
He sounds like an asshole. He absolutely sounds like an asshole. And he found it. And
but clearly for 10 years, you haven't thought that.
Yes. And it sounds like you can do better. You deserve better as a friend. But that said, the fact that he is... so obviously a bit of an asshole, it's still landing very hard with it. You're still upset over it. You've written a 3A4 page letter to us about it. So you're obviously very, very hurt.
I think you're within your rights to be hurt.
You're absolutely in your rights to be hurt.
I think to be fair,
cutting somebody off.
Yeah.
You never
resolve it.
You never really resolve it. You don't get your answers. Cutting somebody off means that the way you feel about this now, this is as resolved as it's going to get.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know how healthy that is for you or for him. You know, and you're right. It's not you don't have to educate him. He should.
Absolutely not. It's not your responsibility at all.
No.
And you're entitled to respect.
I really believe that you tell people how to treat you every day. So the thing is... Actually, you don't have to go on with the concept of educating him. Although he seems to say to you he would do anything to fix it, right? So that you can be friends again. But you say also that you haven't actually missed him that much. But is that because you're hurt? You know, and so the thing is, I think probably Grode is right. You probably need to have a conversation to resolve it. So you're not carrying it. I'll be honest with you. You cannot, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you cannot say that everybody's the same just because one person has let
no,
you down.
No, not at all. Don't lose faith in that. And also because you're coming from a vulnerability, like a vulnerable position.
Yeah, because he's hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you have, if you have a disability, it's something you've worked against your whole life. And it's something that you have come to terms with, and it's something that you have built confidence around. And you shouldn't let somebody's ignorant opinion
bring you down.
Take away all your hard work.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right.
See, what you don't say in the letter, right, is you don't say how, I don't think she does, you don't say how you cut off communication.
Well, I think what happened was, you know, basically she stopped talking to him.
I think if you had a conversation and said, I'm annoyed about what you said, I feel hurt by it, I think it's very ignorant. It's an ignorant position to take, and it's also the fact that you felt you could say it to me is just beggar's belief. If you said something like that and then cut off contact, I think that's fine. If you just stopped answering the phone, I think that's a bit different.
Yeah. But to be fair, she says, I told him bluntly I can't be friends with someone who thinks that way. So he reached out a couple of times. So she has been in touch.
Okay.
She kind of has been in touch in some way. So he's trying to find a way to mend it because clearly he misses you.
Could it be that he was pissed?
As in drunk?
Yeah.
He could have been. He could also have been, you know, sometimes people are not in the best spaces in themselves. Maybe he was feeling hurt from something that had happened in his life. And maybe, you know, sometimes, especially men, they if their ego's been hurt a little bit or if their heart's been hurt a bit, sometimes they lash out a bit.
The other side of it is he might have felt, and again, this is hard to hear. He may have felt that you were attracted to him and he wasn't attracted to you and he panicked. Now, that does not excuse anything that he said. It's pig ignorant what he said, and it's horrible. But
yeah. But I mean, to be honest, at the end of the day, right, what you need to decide here is whether you need to resolve the situation with him or not. And if you don't, then if you're done with him, you're done with him.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You're allowed to do that. It doesn't matter how long you've been friends.
Absolutely.
You're completely allowed to do that.
To say what he said.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Even if you're the world's biggest asshole.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense.
Like, even if you are, or even if you hate the person.
I mean, technically
it's
speaking.
It's such a horrible thing and it's such a horrible way.
But why wait 10 years to say it?
Exactly. Why wait 10 years to say it? And but secondly, why, and I can see why your faith in humanity would be shaken.
Yeah.
Because if you're to take this at face value, you think, Jesus, how can you be friends with someone for 10 years and then hold
and
this opinion
it.
And then this just pours out of them?
Yeah.
Which makes me think that there has been
something has happened to him.
Necessarily a miscommunication, but there's been some sort of falling down in the way that he was communicating or what he was trying to communicate.
Yeah.
And look, we'll never know unless you have a conversation with him about it. And I would say the only reason that you should put yourself in the position to have that conversation is if you want resolution from it.
Yeah,
it's
if you
not
need
about
it.
Giving him
no.
The resolution. If you're happy enough to cut him off and to continue on without him, then absolutely go and do that, because he's given you no reason to, you know, to give him any other opportunity. But if there's something you need from it, because this situation is just so
weird.
Bananas. Yeah. Like, it's just such a weird, horrible thing to do that you wouldn't
believe. It's a
very
long time. It's a very long time to have a certain relationship with someone and for them to do something slightly left of centre. Or maybe has it been maybe they're underlying and you just haven't been aware.
The other thing is, some people are not good at making jokes. Right. Now, I know this probably wasn't a joke, right? But I'll tell you the situation.
No, I know what
right?
you mean. I know.
Sometimes when you're very, very close to somebody, right? You kind of make this kind of like a dark humor associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of one specific situation that I was in, right? Where it was just a sad situation. There was something going on. And somebody who I was very, very good friends with said something that was just so, I mean, I knew it was a joke,
but it was upsetting.
It wasn't even upsetting, but I was just like, it wasn't upsetting because it was so wild. Like, it was just like, what? But it was it was just interesting for me to be able to go, wow, Jesus, they really got that wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew it was a joke, because I guess when you know the person, it, you know, and it was a face-to-face thing, maybe if they'd put it in a text, I would have felt different about it. But like, it was interesting to go, God, if I had been somebody who was...
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if it's a situation like this. I'm wondering if it was a combination of wanting to communicate something, but also...
I think we're spending way too much time being concerned about why he did it, because we won't know. We won't know,
exactly.
Nor will you, unless you ask the question, right? And clearly there's been some conversation, because you've been clear about how you feel about it. So he's well aware that you have been hurt or unhappy about it.
And I also don't want to think, sorry, just to cut you off just on that point, before you finish, that I also, part of that could be that I really don't want to think that Paula has actually invested 10 years in a friendship where this is the way it ends.
Yeah, no, I know, I understand that. I know, it would be sad.
It's awful. I feel so sorry for her.
You know, I don't want it to be about that. But, you know, you're not responsible for that, Paula. You know, that's the truth. And the thing is, it may be something that he's hurting from some other space. You just don't know. You know, because people hide those kind of hurts very well, don't they?
Yeah.
I seriously think that you need to decide whether you need to resolve this or not. I think you need to absolve yourself from any responsibility in it.
Completely.
Because of who you are. I don't think you're being dramatic. I think he probably hit a sore spot, and quite rightly, you know, you were offended by it. And so therefore, it's down to whether you can forgive him. It's not up to you to educate him, because quite frankly, the fact that you've been very definite about how you feel will already be educating him, whether he likes it or not, you know. But it's not about him. This is about you now. This is about you.
Exactly. And I think what you have to remember, Paul, is that you've been very, very hurt.
Yeah.
And I know that it's hard to feel when you have the power like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to acknowledge the hurt
because
you do have the power in the situation, but you've been very hurt. And I also think for your own head,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to tell anyone.
No.
But I do think for your own head, you should probably try and work out, is the reason I'm hurt because there was an attraction?
Yeah. Well, it could be, but it doesn't matter what the answer to that is. The point is whether you need resolution from it or whether you feel there's any way to go back to it. Going back is difficult, I think, in a relationship like that. You know, it is quite difficult.
Yeah.
So, but
unless
he
has a really good explanation.
Yeah. And, you know, he might be very apologetic. Maybe it's through ignorance. Maybe he was cross about something else and it just spilled over into the space where he felt safe. You know, because sometimes we do that. You know, we lash out into places to get a reaction from someone else because we don't feel safe doing it anywhere else. You know, so that I'm not attaching more importance to your relationship, but it's a long time to be friends with someone and, you know, just let it go without actually having resolution. But it's up to you, Paula. You need, this is about you now, but don't ever think that you have to apologize for anything or being too dramatic. I hate that concept. You know what I mean?
No, you feel the way you feel.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you just have to accept whether you need to finish now with him or not.
Don't get sucked into a situation where you are putting his needs before yours.
Oh no, without a doubt. And you know, it also doesn't need to be a very, you know, prolonged experience. If you decide to resolve it, decide what you need to hear in the conversation before you get there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, and now have, you're,
have a conversation.
I guess the question you've asked,
yeah,
is should you feel guilty about this?
And no, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
No.
You absolutely shouldn't.
Because we all have our boundaries, and if somebody passes them, then that's it.
Yeah, that's game over.
Yeah.
I would, if I was in your position, I don't know what I'd do.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess knowing myself, rightly or wrongly, I do think I would have a conversation, because I'd want the opportunity to A, give it to them both barrels.
Yeah.
I think he deserves an absolute...
But I think sometimes, because in your head you think you're going to have this resolution, and sometimes
and
it
you
can
may
be
not.
Difficult. That you have to be prepared for the fact that you may not hear what you want to hear.
And he could just sit in front of you and double down.
Yeah, you just don't know.
Which would be absolutely horrible. But I would say
that's about him, not you.
Yeah, put yourself first.
Yeah.
Paula...
We're sending you nothing but love
and
hopes.
Nothing but love. And I'm so sorry that all this happened.
Yeah.
Because it's awful. But human beings are human beings, and sometimes they can just be a bit disappointing.
I know. They are. And don't worry about time, baby.
She'll be fine. Time will be fine. I'm not even entertaining the world.
No, can't be.
Where anything happens to Tyne Daly.
I know. I mean, nearly all. Are all the Golden Girls gone yet?
They're all dead, Niamh. I know. All of them dead.
That's so hard.
What a horrific way to end the show, but we are where we are. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
You too, Niamh. My love.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, even though it's a week late. Thank you so much for listening. We would love if you would become a member of Headstuff Plus, mm-hmm. and you will get an episode of Vintage Rants, I think, either this Thursday or last Thursday.
Not well. Whatever it is, you'll have it.
Either way, the joy is approaching. In your hot little ears.
Yeah, I know.
And we will chat to you next week.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.